Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's a bonus episode, a Who Says No Friday edition of Play Tessie. Got lots of shout-outs at Fenway Fest about Who Says No. People loving the Who Says No drops. It has become a hit this offseason, the Who Says No episodes on Play Tessie. So we're going to keep them coming. And whose turn is it this week for a Who Says No? That would be Dr. Patrick Brown. Pat Brown, what do you got for us today? Wait, no, hold on. I haven't done any of the intro. I got to do the intro. I'm sorry. I got to do it. All right. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. God, it sounds so weird at this stage of the podcast, but just subscribe and rate 5 stars and go to YouTube and we're on the WEI channel, play testing playlist. Subscribe.
The intros are tough.
Dude, yeah, I'm over my last, this is 2 straight podcasts of bad intros, but I'm going to get there. All right. Subscribe to WEI. Play Tessie playlist is there. Hit the thumbs up on the videos. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy, here with Pat. Joe's producing it. It's Pat's turn for Who Says No.
So you're 1 for 4 now with the intros today. We're recording on Tuesday right now. So Gordo's 1 for 4. So if that one was like a slam dunk intro, could be considered a good day for you still. 1 for 4 is not bad.
I'm getting demoted, man.
Have fun on the White Sox, buddy. White Sox pod.
Next week, who's gonna replace me as the host of this podcast next week?
Anthony the Bussin' King.
Yeah, we'll get Anthony the Bussin' King. He'll host next week. I'll be on suspension.
Yeah.
What do we think of that?
All right, let's go. Let's do this.
All right, Pat, what do you got for us, baby?
All right. This is kind of a dumbed down version of a trade that was making its rounds on Twitter last week that we were all kind of split on. It does involve the Cardinals. It does not involve Tristan Casas. It does not involve Nolan Arenado. My who says no today is very simple. It's basic. It's easy. Cutter Crawford for Ivan Herrera. Thought process here. There are rumors. When I say rumors, I am talking about from Cardinals Live, who I now trust completely and entirely, and I'm not kidding. There are rumors that the Cardinals aren't necessarily thrilled with Ivan Herrera's defense behind the plate. Not great arm, but blocking and framing are both above average per Baseball Savant. Sox just traded away Kyle Teal. I don't see Wong as a long-term solution there, kind of at all. Ivan Herrera, 24 years old. You get him for 2025, 6, 7, 8, and 9. 5 years of control, 24-year-old catcher. Limited sample size, 229 plate appearances this year, 1.7 WAR. 301 batting average. The bat plays. The bat's been playing for 2.5, I think, years now. Triple A, kind of bounced around between Triple A, MLB. Right-handed. He could be the answer there, and I think it's worth a gamble. For the Cardinals, the flip side there. They have an old rotation, a very old rotation. You have Sonny Gray, who I believe is 35, 34. Miles Michaelis, you have Steven Matz, you have McGreevy's actually a pretty interesting young guy there. But overall, nothing crazy, nothing kind of long term there. Cutter's controlled for 4 years. He's a very legit number four, number five starter with pitching at Busch could even be better than that because that's what he's been at Fenway. They get control. They get some back-end rotation stability. They kind of get away from a guy they're not completely sold on behind the dish. The Sox get a guy who could be their answer behind the dish. That is my sales pitch for this one. What do you guys think?
Well, of course, with every who says no, two ways to look at it. From the Red Sox perspective, I think it's a no-brainer. They would have to do this. You're trading from a surplus in starting pitching, which I know after the last few years feels crazy to say, but you got Crochet, Buehler, Hauk, Giolito, Crawford, and then you have the minors, Priester, Fitz, Criswell's probably going to be around, Dobbins, Penrod's going to be a starter, Chris Murphy might be starting. So they finally, for the first time in what feels like forever, the Red Sox have some good org depth when it comes to starting pitching. Where they don't have good depth, probably the worst depth in the organization, is catcher. And they just traded Kyle Teal in the Garrett Crochet swap. He was the number one catcher in the entire organization, rankings-wise. Of course, he wasn't in Major League Baseball yet, but he was the heir to the throne. Now you kind of have a mishmash of middle to lower prospects, Connor Wong and Narvaez, the new backup catcher. So Red Sox, absolutely. This guy doesn't need to be perfect, Herrera, I'm talking about, because he's better than what you've got. I know his arm isn't great, but like you said, Pat, he blocks and he frames well, struggling over here, which I would say is more important than controlling the run game anyway. And he can hit too. So yeah, Red Sox, absolutely. If I'm the Cardinals, I would probably say yes. Maybe ask for Connor Wong back in the deal just to replace the depth. And I don't think the Red Sox would have any problem with that. Cardinals have Crooks, I believe his name is, Jimmy Crooks, catching prospect who's close to Major League ready. So it's not out of the question that they would be willing to move Herrera. So yeah, I kind of like this for both sides. Strong yes from the Red Sox, a slightly weaker yes from the Cardinals. Again, I think they would maybe ask for a Major League ready catcher to replace Herrera. And then the Red Sox would have Herrera and Narvaez as their catchers, which the only downside to that is not much experience in that tandem, but I could get over it. I don't think Connor Wong's the answer for the Red Sox. So Red Sox, yes. Cardinals, gentler, yes.
So I agree with you. Connor Wong, I don't think, is the long-term answer at catcher for the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox are going to be in the market for catching upgrades until you see them make one. But the one thing that, and you said it, I forget what, you might have both said it, but the Cardinals not being sold on Herrera's defense should give you pause, because Connor Wong offensively last year was good. He had a good season offensively, especially in the first half. With this deal, Sammy, I'm going to go opposite of what you said here, and I don't think it's worth it for the Red Sox as it stands. I do agree with your point, though, that in a deal like this, Connor Wong is going to need to be in it for the Cardinals. They are not playing Wilson Contreras at catcher this year. They do not want him behind the plate. I think they would want a catcher in return. And with Narvaez in the fold, I think the Red Sox, if they were acquiring Herrera here, I think that would be something that they could do. But to me, I'm not certain enough that Herrera is going to be an upgrade over Wong. And I'm not certain enough of that to just part with Cutter and go into the season. Now, one of their biggest strengths is their pitching depth right now. Like, they've got six legitimate average or above average major league starters ready to go. Like, they can have an injury and they're totally fine. And you trade Cutter, it's like you're still going in with five starters, but now if someone gets hurt, you're on your depth, which is okay. Like, it's solid. Priester, I think we all think, has a chance to be pretty damn good. Fitz showed some good stuff last year. I'm less sold on him. So, like, they have depth, but it's not like if Cutter is your sixth man, if someone goes down, you go to him. So, and the reason I'm not super 100% sold on Herrera, who had a good year last year, he hit over 300. What did he hit? He hit 301, 800 on the dot OPS, but he did it in 72 games. And the year before that, he only played 13 games in the majors. Year before that, he only played 11 games in the majors. So this is a guy with really limited big league experience, and he is not like a former top 100 prospect. This is, like, he was a fine organizational prospect, but he's not a guy that, like, the Cardinals have been looking to be their go-to guy for years. And based off of the reports of his defense, even though, Pat, as you pointed out, StatCast has him as slightly above average in both blocking and framing, less so on the throwing. But am I sold enough from what I've seen from Herrera to this point to say that it's worth trading Cutter Crawford to go from Wong to Herrera? I don't think so. I think if you threw Wong in the deal and maybe something else and found a way to get Ryan Helsley in there, it's something I'd be interested in. More likely, and I know you didn't include Arenado in this deal, but more likely it would be in a larger deal around that, which makes this a hell of a lot more complicated. But to the who says no you proposed there, I think the Red Sox should say no. And I think the Cardinals, assuming that they have another answer at catcher, whether it be expanding the deal to get Connor Wong. Sammy, I don't know anything about the prospect you mentioned. Is he a top 100 guy?
Crooks? I'm not sure. Let me double check.
And regardless, like, obviously, there's still a couple of meh free agent options. I know this is kind of a transition year for the Cardinals anyway, but catcher is kind of a spot where you want to have someone you can trust, because the development of your pitchers at the big league level is really dependent on that. So I don't think, like, you can punt on a year of your left fielder, but kind of hard to punt on a year of your catcher.
Yeah, I don't think Crooks is a top 100 guy, but he's ranked pretty highly in the Cardinals organization. The thing with Herrera, I think he does the things that Connor Wong doesn't do. He doesn't strike out very much. He walks a lot. And like we said, he blocks well and he frames. I think he is a good bit better than Connor Wong. I'm pretty comfortable saying that. We've seen a lot of Connor Wong. There's always the chance that Herrera regresses, of course. That's never out of the question with these young guys. But based on the scouting reports and what we saw from him in 2024, I don't know. It seems like a good bet. And for your fifth or sixth best starting pitcher, when you have good depth, not great depth, but good depth, I don't know. It feels like a worthwhile risk, especially ahead of the deadline when you have a chance to amend if you need to add somewhere. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Gordo. I'm not so high on Wong. He was not even in the top 30 in blocking and framing. He was behind
the worst,
like, backup catchers. Yeah, he was like literally
okay.
The worst.
No, sorry, not in blocking. He was the worst, I think, in like DRS for catchers.
Yeah, overall, the complete package, he's not a good defender. He's good at controlling the run game, and that's pretty much it. But that's, I would say, not as important as blocking and framing. You're blocking and framing on every single pitch, pretty much, unless the ball's put in play. You have maybe a couple steal attempts a game, so if any. So I think, Herrera, I think, is a comfortable pick. He was a bat-first prospect when he was coming up, too. Hitting is the thing that he's good at. The improved defense is the big kind of like cherry on top for him. I think if he wasn't good enough to stick at catcher, he would be a DH or a first baseman in Major League Baseball. That's how legit the bat is. Even if he's not hitting home runs, he's still getting on base a lot. He's not striking out. Balls in play, always good. So, I hear you, Gordo, but I don't know. I kind of like this kid. Cool batting stance, too. That's important.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I think so much of the deal and like how you look at it is so dependent on how you look at Wong. Because if you told me that it's a guarantee that Connor Wong defensively is going to be what he was last year, and that's going to be what he is moving forward. Oh yeah, I'd do it in a heartbeat just because, man, like you cannot be a successful big league team with a catcher as bad defensively as Connor Wong was last year. And even though, yeah, he is good at controlling the running game, like if you go from 2 years ago to last year, like he got considerably worse there. I know there was some injury stuff in spring training, maybe his elbow was never right last year, but yeah, I mean, it is a spot that's worth upgrading. It's just that if I'm going to give a pitcher of Cutter Crawford's talent, I need to be damn sure I'm getting that upgrade. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have a better option, because I think catcher is going to be one of the hardest spots for the Red Sox to figure out over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe 4 or 5 years. Like, I don't know what the answer is. And Herrera probably would be an upgrade. But is it worth trading a guy of Cutter Crawford's talent for an upgrade that I'm not sure? Like, I'm not sure how much the upgrade is going to be. I don't even know if it's going to be an upgrade just because Herrera hasn't played enough. So,
Gordo, aren't you willing to use Cutter in the bullpen this year? Like, if needed? Because, like,
Yes. I if everyone's healthy, I'm willing to use him out of the bullpen.
So you're not willing to make I guess this is the difference right here. I think it's a fairly significant upgrade at catcher, but you don't think that, right?
Well, I don't know it. Like, he might be. He might
you
be.
You never know,
But if you have a guy that wasn't a top 100 prospect and has had success in under 100 major league games, like, we just can't know. Like,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I know. I mean, I think it would just be so good. You get Herrera, you draft a catcher this year. Herrera's in there for a few years. Maybe you move him later. I don't know. It's just such a catcher is so difficult. It's such a hard, and there's not many great catchers nowadays.
No.
It's like a handful of guys. It's mostly like this guy can't defend, but he can hit. This guy can play great defense, but he's not a great bat. Like Narvaez is kind of like that. Not a great bat. I know he's killing it in the Venezuelan Winter League, but like, give me a break. So
Jorge Alfaro killed it in those good winter catches. Leagues.
I think that's part of why it's the position that Herrera plays, which is why I'm like, jump on that if you're the Red Sox. But I hear you. Yeah, I'm not like strongly disagreeing or anything. I would prefer to take it.
Yeah, I mean, catcher, like, there's a reason that guys like Austin Hedges, who are literally automatic outs, get paid. And to me, catcher would be the spot in the lineup where I'm willing to take a black hole just to have a good defender out there. Like, I'm not going to rule out Carlos Narvaez being the starter of the future. If he can defend as well as he looked like he could last year in the minors, like, yeah, maybe he does start. But that's why I'm so, I don't want to say I'm super passionate about it, but I do feel pretty strongly that Sadon Rafaela would be best suited for a utility role, because if you have Jarren Duran as your center fielder and he provides almost as much defensive value, at least last year, as Sadon did out in center field, like, if you're then your one black hole offensively is at catcher, you can afford to just have a defense guy there. But you can't have too many spots in your lineup where you have defense guy there, defense guy there, defense guy there. And maybe that's why Herrera could be a good fit, is because if you have Sadon Rafaela in your starting lineup, then Herrera is more of a bat first catcher. But I kind of want my catchers to be defense first.
I do too. But Herrera is not a bad defender. We should make that clear. He's slightly above average. So I just feel like the fit is good. By the way, Rafaela is the emergency catcher, I was told.
Ooh.
By a good source. So he's also your third string catcher.
Wow.
I think he caught in the Little League World Series, actually. Something crazy like that.
Well, that's an interesting one. Always interesting to know who the emergency catchers on the team are. Wasn't Zhu Wei Lin the emergency catcher?
Yeah, he was.
Yep.
Little League World Series. Yeah, all the best players in Little League World Series are center field, or sorry, shortstop and catcher. Yeah, there you go. Sadon Rafaela, infield. Oh, he played everywhere.
You know what my challenge, because I'm going to go next for the Who Says No. My challenge is going to be to make a Who Says No that doesn't involve the Red Sox trading Cutter or Willier. Because I think, and it makes sense. Like, I understand why, like, those two guys are in, like, all of our proposals. It's because the Red Sox, as it stands right now, look like they've got a one-man surplus in the rotation and a one-man surplus in the outfield. And you're going to have to trade likely from that surplus, particularly the outfield, I think, to get upgrades. So I'm gonna trade someone that's not Cutter or Willier next week. That'll be my Who Says No next week. Will not involve any of those. Pat, would you for your trade here, if you had to lean, who do you think gets the better end of this deal? If you were leaning one way, I assume you think both sides say yes since you made the trade.
Yeah, you guys know kind of where I stand on Cutter. I think the I say win loosely, because Cutter is a valuable commodity to a team that needs starting pitching. I'm not calling Cutter not a good pitcher. Cutter is a very solid back end MLB starter. But sometimes that I would say a back end starter is just as valuable as a mid-level to upper, you know, catcher. It's not like you're trading an ace for a Adley Rutschman. You're trading a legit stable arm in the back end of a bullpen or the back end of a rotation for a guy who could be a long-term solution to catcher. And if not, he's a good backup. Like, I think that's a pretty value-wise, pretty fair trade-off.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree at all. I don't disagree at all. And if the Red Sox made this trade, zero part of me would say anything ill about it. But I do lean that way. So Sammy, to cap it off, Sammy has Red Sox as a resounding yes, and the Cardinals as, what would you call it? Like a
Cardinals are like, yes, if you throw in Connor Wong. So like leaning yes.
Okay. And I have the Cardinals as a yes, and the Cardinals as a tentative yes, barring like a solution of catcher, like whether it be in the trade or not. And I have the Red Sox as a no. That's going to do it for this edition of Who Says No Friday with Play Tessie. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. We'll be back in your ears. What, it's MLK Day on Monday, so we'll probably do a, what do you guys think, a Tuesday drop? We can
probably.
Yeah, probably. I mean, a lot of people, I know poor Pat's got to work on Monday, but I like to think that most people get it off, but Pat's doing the Lord's work, and Pat's a soldier, So Pat's going to be on the grind. Oh, Sammy's working too.
Yeah, my company's based in Singapore. Yeah, they don't care. I'm working probably. I'll try to get it off, but I'm expecting to work.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to work on Monday. So, but we'll talk about it. But I'd say good chance your next play, Tessie, will drop on Tuesday. We appreciate you guys tuning in to this one. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Spotify, Apple, anywhere. Odyssey app. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. You can hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. They're in the Play Tessie playlist there, so you can find all of our episodes in video format there. And as always, you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So for Sammy and for Pat, who brought the Who Says No to the table on this edition, and for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.